It's time for Hoag Health Radio, brought to you by Hoag Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Well, hello, and welcome to the show. Thanks very much for listening and for telling a friend. You're welcome to send any questions or comments to me by email through the Hoag Hospital website at hoag@radiomd.com. hoag@radiomd.com. Today we're speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Yoshida. He's the director of Hoag Urologic Oncology and an expert in the field of prostate, kidney, and bladder cancer. We're delighted to have him on the show today to be with you to share his expertise with you. Welcome, Dr. Yoshida.
Hi. Great to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
Our pleasure. We're going to talk today about some of the things we and our loved ones need to do, or if someone you love has been tested for prostate cancer and are now needing treatment. For early stage prostate cancer in younger men, there are three traditional options: surgery, radiation therapy, and active surveillance or watchful waiting. Let's start with a surgical option. What does this entail for the patient?
Well, surgery nowadays is, as most surgeries are, we go with a minimally invasive approach. So the majority of the surgeries that are done for prostate cancer nowadays are what we call robotic surgery. We use robotic technology to real small incisions and remove the prostate and the cancerous tissue that way. So we basically do the whole surgery from the inside of the patient. And because we don't have to make any big incisions, the patient just recovers much more quickly.
And minimal scarring.
Yeah, when you look at just recovery time, with the traditional surgery, men would be in the hospital sometimes 2 to 3 days, back to, their hobbies like golf and those kinds of things. Probably in a few months. With the robotic surgery, patients are spending usually just one night in the hospital, less than 24 hours, and are back to the golf course in just a few weeks.
Might want to stay off the horse for a couple of weeks, though.
Yeah, the horse you want to avoid for probably a few months, actually.
Especially trotting. Okay, well, let's move on to radiation therapy, or eternal beam, or radioactive tumor seeding.
Well, radiation therapy is just like surgery, has really, the technology has really expanded in the last few years as well. Now, there's external beam treatments. We call external beam radiation therapy IMRT. Mm-hmm. That stands for intensity modulated radiation therapy. One of the problems with radiation is the collateral damage or the exposure to the healthy tissues to the radiation. And with some of these newer IMRT types of radiation, you're able to focus most of the radiation on the target, reducing the collateral damage, so to speak.
What's the external beam actually? I mean, give me an example of... I'm lying on the table. What do you do to me if I'm a man?
Well, basically, it depends on which type you choose. There's several different brand names and different, modifications of the technology. But basically, it's a real quick treatment. They put you on the table. They use some type of image guidance to locate the prostate. And then within usually about just a few minutes, the radiation is completed. Now, The radiation is usually, depending on which type you choose, you need multiple treatments to complete the overall treatment.
Which is why I probably said eternal beam earlier when I meant external beam.
External beam, yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't be eternal.
It shouldn't feel that way anyway.
Yeah, but what's interesting is a lot of patients will ask me, is there pain involved? Am I throwing up? Am I losing my hair?
Yes, those are the questions.
Those are the kinds of things you'll get with chemotherapies. Not radiation. So radiation doesn't cause pain. It doesn't cause you to lose your hair necessarily. It doesn't cause you to be throwing up and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very well tolerated. And like I said, you just have to do multiple treatments and to do the entire to go through the entire overall treatment.
And how long does each? Yeah. I was going to say, how long does each treatment last?
Each treatment, so for somebody who's just diagnosed with prostate cancer and chose one of those radiations, the standard would be probably 8 weeks, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But the treatments each day are probably you're not at the treatment center for more than maybe 20 to 30 minutes a day.
And you can drive yourself there and drive back?
Yeah, some guys will, come before work and then go to work after. Some will go to work before and then get their treatment in the afternoon.
Wow.
So, it's very, very well tolerated. Mm-hmm.
And you can have coffee and you can eat regular meals.
Yeah, they might modify, you know, what kind of food you have prior to treatment. So they don't, you know, they don't want you to have too much stool or gas in your intestines and bowel, as that can kind of distort the imaging of your prostate each time you go for treatment. So they'll modify your diet a little bit, but that's pretty much it.
And what about exercise during the course of treatment?
It's recommended.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to make a lot of men happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think within reason, and the radiation oncologist, you know, will go over, you know, those specific details with each individual, but you can maintain a pretty normal lifestyle throughout the treatment.
Fantastic. Great news. Now, what about the radioactive tumor seeding? Many men go for this option.
Yeah, this is actually a type of treatment that was real popular probably 10 to 15 years ago. Still popular now, but instead of directing the radiation from outside the body onto the into the prostate, we put these little pellets which are radioactive essentially, and we surgically place those in the prostate. Those will then radiate the cancerous tissue. So it's basically doing radiation from the inside out.
And it's a single procedure, one time.
Correct. And now there's even combination therapies where you'll do a combination of a type of seeding plus the external beam. So there's a lot of variations, you know, of the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the outcomes of these treatments, they're all relatively the same. So, you know, that's where it's good to meet with a professional radiation oncologist or to get more information.
Yeah. And especially it depends on how old you are and what kind of lifestyle you're leading.
Yes, that's key, Deborah, because, you know, one of the problems with prostate cancer is there's a lot of options. And I don't look at it as a problem, but when you're diagnosed, having options sometimes can be very difficult for a patient to figure out which one is best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the most important thing you can do when you're diagnosed with prostate cancer is to get educated, to meet with, you know, your primary care physician, to meet with a urologist, to meet with a radiation oncologist, gather all that information, and form an individualized treatment plan. A lot of patients will talk to their neighbor, their best friend, and do
Google.
What they did. And exactly, go to the internet. The problem with that is, one person's experience doesn't mean that's the experience you're going to have.
Exactly.
And one person's type of cancer may not be the type that you have. So it's really important to get educated.
That's right. And Google does not have the medical answer for everything. Just to state that right there, because there's a lot of people that get hysterical and go on Google.
Right.
Also, we have not yet talked about active surveillance or watchful waiting, which seems like, you know, the no-brainer, easy way to go. But really, I think that comes with its own set of stresses.
Right. Well, active surveillance is you know, what I'm finding in talking to patients of mine is that it's not something that's very well understood. I think what's important about active surveillance is it is a viable option, but it's only for men that have the very slow-growing type of prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The misconception is that everybody who has prostate cancer has the same type of cancer, and that's not necessarily true. Some have very aggressive cancers. Others have very slow-growing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch an aggressive cancer, that cancer is going to spread and do harmful things. So you have to make sure that you have a slow-growing cancer, and this is where the counseling and the getting educated is very important.
Yeah.
But yes, active surveillance, it seems like an easy way to go about cancer treatment, so to speak, but what we do is we have to monitor that the cancer is not getting more aggressive, it's not starting to grow and spread. So it involves annual biopsies and PSA tests done quarterly to twice a year.
And it seems almost like you're doing nothing when you're diagnosed with cancer. I mean, most people want to just go at it and attack it and get rid of it. So watchful waiting might be difficult for some people.
Well, the downside to active surveillance is the anxiety that's associated with
it.
And it really, you know, in my experience in counseling patients, you really have to have a certain personality type. Most individuals, you know, they have a difficult time compartmentalizing the fact that they have prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And that spills over into their everyday life of, you know, enjoying things that they can't enjoy because they know they have cancer, worrying about the cancer. So it does take a certain personality type.
Right. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to ask, what are some of the possible side effects of these treatments?
Yeah, that's key. So, you know, the prostate is where it's located is the problem. The prostate is located right in front of the rectum. It's located very close to the urinary sphincter, which helps you control your urine, and it's very intimately related with the nerves that control a man's erection.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the type of treatment, men can have problems with erectile dysfunction, can have urinary problems such as going frequently mm-hmm. or leaking urine, those
right.
kinds of things. So
all things you should discuss with your doctor. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Yoshida. It's been a total pleasure having you on the show. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and please stay tuned. There's much more to come. Stay with us.